Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, yeah, you know what? I like to play. No diggity, no doubt. Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Yo, Dre dropped the verse.
It's going down, face of Black Street. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, that dog couldn't catch me. Tell me who could stop with Dre making moves, attracting honeys like a magnet, giving them orgasms with my mellow accent. Still moving this flavor with the homies Black Street and Teddy, the original rough shaker.
Shutting it down, good lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the town. Getting paid is a forte. Teaching every day, true play away. I can't get her out of my mind.
Wow.
I think about the girl all the time.
Wow.
East side to the west side. Pushing fat rides, it's no surprise. She got tricks in the stash. Stacking up the cash, fast when it comes to the gas. By no means average. It's on when she's got to have it. Baby, you're a perfect 10. I wanna get in. Can I get down so I can? I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up, girl.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
She's got class and style. She knowledge by the pound. Baby never act wild. Very low key on the profile. Catching feelings is a no. Let me tell you how it goes. Curves the word, spins the verb. Lovers hit curves so free. What you heard? Rolling with the fatness. You don't even know what the half is. You got to pay to play. Just for shorty bang bang to look your way. I like the way you work it. Trump tight all day, every day. You're blowing my mind, maybe in time. Baby, I can get you in my ride.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Oh,
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up, babe.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity.
From New York City to Black Street. What you know about me? Now don't up for something. Cartier with his frame, sported by my shorty. As for me, icy gleaming pinky diamond ring. We bees the baddest click up on this scene. Ain't you getting bored with these fake boards? I shows and proves, no doubt. I predict you so. Please excuse if I come across rude. That's just me. And that's how a player's got to be. Stay kicking game with a capital G. Ask the peoples on my block, I'm as real as can be. Word is born. Faking moves never been my thing. So Teddy, pass the word to your again Chauncey. I'll be sending a call. Let's say around 3:30. Queen Pen
no
and Black.
No diggity, no doubt, baby.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got the bag.
Girl,
it up.
Got it going on.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
no
diggity.
Yeah,
I got the bag.
Right. No diggity, no doubt. Yeah. Black Street.
Productions. We out, we out, ride. We out, we out, we out.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. That's No Diggity, No Doubt by Blackstreet. And as you all know, I'm generally on Fridays, but tonight I'm doing a special. I have a very special guest here with me tonight. We'll get with that in a moment. How's everybody doing this evening, first of all? And I'm glad, you know, that you did tune in on this special night to listen to this special show. It was really raining here today. A little, not cold, but just a little chill was in the air. But it still was a beautiful day. I'm doing a lot of things right now. But without further ado, I'm going to read a little bio of the guest that we have on the show this evening and bring him in. RBC Production Management Consulting is a production management group that has been overseeing the production of theater and film features since 1994. They are English, Spanish, bilingual, with over 30-plus years of experience, accompanied by a successful track record. RBCPM Consultants brings to the table experience working in both international and domestic environments, and with varying budgets from indie to feature. As the senior production manager, R. Brian Chatan, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, supervises both the physical aspects and the creation of the production process, including personnel, technology, budget, and scheduling. It is the production manager's responsibility to make sure the filming stays on schedule and within its budget. Production managers also help manage the day-to-day budget by controlling operation costs such as salaries, production costs, and everyday equipment rentals. PMs generally work under the director or line producer and directly supervise the production coordinator. RCB PM Consulting Group, located in Philadelphia, PA, the New Hollywood on the East Coast. And without further ado, I'm going to bring in this evening's guest. Hello, Bryant.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Just fantastic. So we're going to get right into things now. I read down here what your duties are, but how did you come about getting this position?
Well, with this film, I did those things kind of led me into doing. I've done some shorts and I've done all types of special events. I've done domestic and international trade shows. So I knew Rel for quite a while, and when he had just finished up really his first project, Train Ride, when I met him, and he knew I was interested in getting more involved on the film side of things. So we stayed in touch. I did some smaller jobs for him and for some other artists and whatnot that he knew. And then finally, he came up with this job, and off we went. You know, we had a conversation. I showed him one of the things that I'd done, which was a 13-room walkthrough haunt that we converted from a 10,000-square-foot empty warehouse into an interactive kind of actor walkthrough situation. And after that, he took a chance and gave me a shot at doing the production design for this film. So that's how I wound up in it.
Oh, okay. So was there any type of training or anything that you had to go through, or you just sort of went by it on the job?
Well, I had already done, you know, these types of productions and whatnot before, but now the challenges that this one presented was altogether different in that after reading the script and looking at the script, I sent, you know, I talked to him and I said, you know, Rel, this is a big, big movie, because this movie spans so much. It spanned three decades. as I started to count off the different active locations, I realized that this film was going to be very big. So it wound up actually being 33 active live locations. So, you know, it was just a challenge to look at what we had to do, and then at the same time, we didn't have the massive Hollywood budget either for it. So, you know, we had to get very creative and figure out how we were going to pull this off and give it a big movie-type feel and look.
Okay, you said you did 33 locations. Was that in different cities and different states, or how did that go?
No, these were all shot. Everything was shot here in Philadelphia, and we did some in one of our studio locations in New Jersey for some of the some office scenes and some of the special effect work.
Okay. So how long did it take you guys to put this film together?
Well, the whole project from the beginning, Rel has been working on it well over 6 or 7 years that he's trying to get this movie financed and put together. So it took him that long to raise the money. And one of the other people that's going to come on, Karen, who is the executive producer, actually, she's going to call in a few. And she may already be in your queue, I'm not sure. And then Sean Riggs is going to come in, also the lead actor. They were able, you know, once they put this money together, then we went into pre-production. And pre-production really was a lot of conversation and, like I said, trying to nail down what these locations were going to be. We didn't have as much time as I would have enjoyed to have to look for all of them, but we had about 2 or 3 months and about 4 months of, you know, when we first started talking, the VP and I got together and I wanted to find out from him, you know, what was the look, what was he looking for, how did he want to shoot it, give me some ideas of the different scenes, you know, what was he trying to go after in what he was shooting. So, you know, it took us about 3 or 4 months of talking before, and then we really had a hard 30 to 45 days before the shooting actually started to start putting these locations together and getting them ready, because we shot in 21 days all of these locations.
So who actually thought of doing this, the script for the movie? Was that up to the producer, or did you have a writer for it, or where did that come from?
Rel was the actual, is the actual director, and it was his script, and he co-wrote it with Aaron, and they put this together. You know, they had worked on it together as far as putting the script together, and then as far as raising the finances and whatnot, that was between the executive producer, Karen Isaac, Tom Webster, and some other producers. They put together the actual money for the project.
Okay. So now, how do you go about getting the actors? Because I know Sticky Fingers?
Right.
He's a rapper, isn't he?
Right.
Okay. And plus the young lady, I can't think of her name, who played in Soul Food.
Yes.
Yeah.
Irma Hall.
Yeah, how did you get those guys to be in the film?
Well, Rel had started to make some of these connections from his first film, Train Ride. And he started going after these people, and Karen will tell you more about that process, because that was more on her side of the table, what she was handling. But he actually had these actors sign on board, and those having them on board is how he was able to, you know, work the financing side, because some of these people want to know when they're putting their money in there, they want to know, you know, who do you have already signed up for the project. So he had these people in place even before the actual financing was in place. They had agreed, they had read the script, they loved it, they wanted to be a part of the project, so they were already on board, and then they were able to use those names to, you know, garner the needed capital to get the project done.
Okay. And you do the scheduling. Explain to me what you mean by you do the scheduling as well.
Well, I do it on in other projects. In this project, Lalani Good was the production manager. We provide both production management services and production design services, but for this film, we provided the production design services, and Lalani Good was the production manager. She has extreme amount of experience in it, and she really was the one that kept everything on schedule. And her and I would work together as far as, you know, what was the next shooting schedule was going to be for the next day, and then what I would have ready for the crew to be able to go in and shoot, you know, the day following in progress. So she's the one that actually did the management side of that, and I managed my crew, which I had a sizable crew on the production design and art department side.
Okay. Also, I know that some DVDs, well, some movies, when they're made, they generally will go to straight to DVD, or some will maybe go and they be in one movie in one town or city. I noticed you guys have yours in 5 different cities.
Right. Is Karen still in your queue there? I think Karen's in your queue.
I don't know her number. Is it 678? 301-204?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Let me bring her in then. I thought that was somebody else. Okay.
Right.
Hello, Karen?
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
It's great.
Okay.
Listening to the earlier part of your interview, I've been sitting in your queue for quite a while. But,
sorry about that. I thought you were someone else, another young lady who was listening in, has
no
a 301 number as well. Okay,
no
go
problem.
On.
Thank you so much for having us on your show this evening. I really do appreciate the airtime.
Oh, no problem.
Your question was, you noticed that we're in 5 cities. We have a theatrical distribution release, a limited theatrical distribution release, through an entertainment company in California, which means that we're going to be in 5 cities for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And I really need for your listening audience to go to the theaters to see the film during that week, because based on the numbers that we do opening weekend in particular, will determine whether or not we're picked up in any other cities, whether or not we will be extended in the cities that we're in. So our livelihood, if you will, our longevity is contingent upon how many people actually fill the seats opening weekend, which is May 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Are distributed at this point through AMC Theaters in Morrow, Georgia, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Largo, Maryland, New York, and Country Club Hills, Illinois.
Wow, well, I live in the Largo area, so I will be going to see it here.
Outstanding.
Maryland.
I hope that a significant number of your viewership or listenership will be there as well to come out and see the game, because with a small production as ours is, it's extremely critical that audiences attend when the movie opens, as opposed to thinking that they can go see the movie the following week or the week after.
Right.
With a production like ours, we only have this opening weekend to make an impact on the market. Because if we don't make money Friday and Saturday night particularly, then the distributor that we're distributed with will say, well, you guys don't need to be in the theaters. We're going to pull the movie, and that's the end of it. So Changing the Game will only run for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite like when you have a larger budget production and you know that that movie is going to be in the theater for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or a month. Mm-hmm. We only have opening weekend to be there. And if, in fact, your listenership believes in perpetuating African-American film production, then they need to put their dollar behind the movie. Now, why do they want to see the movie? Just because it's made by African-Americans? No. They want to see it because it's made by African-Americans, but also because it has an inspirational message. We have positive characters, and the movie will motivate you to take different courses of action in your life.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is a serious drama, action-packed production. It is not a comedy. It is not a romance movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I think it's more of a man's man kind of movie, because our two characters, our central characters, are male.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't really focus on a relationship between a man and a woman. It focuses on a man, a boy, developing through a young man and becoming an adult male, and how he has to make decisions throughout his life to propel him from boyhood into manhood, from coming up in an environment in which he's in a drug-ridden neighborhood, how he chooses to use education as his springboard to propel himself through life. And once he graduates from the Wharton School of Business and obtains his position on Wall Street, he finds out that he must use some of the principles that he learned in his boyhood neighborhood in order to survive on Wall Street and beyond. And we use the, if you've ever heard of Niccolo Machiavelli, we use the principles of Machiavelli to make certain points in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has a component of that, and it also has a spiritual connection, because our central character, played by Sean Riggs, has a lifelong, very close relationship with his grandmother, and it is her spiritual influence that allows him to, even though he makes some wrong turns along the way, to ultimately resolve some personal issues because he has a spiritual connection.
Wow. Well, it's definitely a film that, because I saw the trailer and I was very intrigued by it, so it's a film that I am going to go and see myself, and I may see if I can't get a few of my girlfriends to go with me. But if not, I am going to check it out myself.
Okay,
because
so
like I said,
you're going to be out at Largo, right?
Yeah.
I tell you what, let's make a date. I'll meet you out in Largo, you and your girlfriends,
mm-hmm.
or listeners, or however many listeners. Let's get us a group together.
Let's do what?
A group. Let's form a
uh-huh.
group, and let's go out and see the movie. So what show are you going to go to? Like 9, 10, or 7, 8?
What times are the shows? Oh, you know what? I would have to go. How long is the movie?
1 hour and 43 minutes.
Okay, because I would have to be back home by 11 o'clock because I have a show Friday, because my shows are generally on Fridays. So I need to find out what show. It'll have to be after a show that starts after 4 o'clock. As long as I can get to a show and get home by 11, that's the show I'm going to go to. So I will check and see what time, you know, the shows are, and then I can, you know, give you a call and let you know which one I'll be at.
All right. That'll work. We'll do that. So we'll need some of your viewers to call in and talk about when they want to go so we can get us a group together and go watch the movie. Because I would really honestly like to know what your viewers think of the movie. I know what I think of it because I've seen it a couple of times.
Well, what's your opinion of it?
Well, if I were not the executive producer of this movie, I would still think it. And I'm going to tell you, we debuted the movie on the West Coast in Los Angeles, and we had a premiere party in Philadelphia last weekend. And I will tell you that in both locations, on the East and West Coast, the audience reaction is significantly favorable. And you don't have to believe me because you can just go on YouTube and watch the audience reaction interviews on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw them. I saw you know, a few of the interviews as well. People were talking about it.
So Changing the Game is the movie to see this weekend. If you are in Morrow, Georgia, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, Largo, Maryland, where else are we?
New York and Illinois.
Country Club Hills, Illinois, and Bronx, New York. Changing the Game is the movie you want to see this weekend. It will not disappoint.
Okay, how did you the title the title and why?
Well, Rel's idea is to what we ultimately want to do is to change the game in the entertainment industry itself. If you look at the Hollywood movies that they say cater to African-Americans. They use African-American characters, but behind the cameras are very few African-Americans.
That's true.
We made our film, the people financing the movie are African-American, the people writing the movie and directing the movie, producing the movie are all African Americans. That's an unusual combination in Hollywood. Now, we have a diverse cast in the movie because it's a universal story, which is another thing that distinguishes our film from others. We're not trying to tell an African American story. We're telling a universal story. We're using universal characters, and that's what's important. In Hollywood, producers have a tendency to pigeonhole characters. If you're black, you have to tell this story. It has to follow along these lines, otherwise the audience won't relate to it. We happen to disagree with that because we are a diverse audience. We like all kinds of entertainment, so we should be given the opportunity to see diverse types of productions. But Hollywood doesn't want to produce those things because, according to them, they don't make money. We don't support our own films.
That is true.
Consequently, over the last 5 years, the dollars awarded from Hollywood movie companies to independent filmmakers has basically dwindled into nothing. And I have attended a couple film festivals, and the message in the film festivals is, we will provide you financing if, in fact, you are a brand. Now, the game is not a brand, so I ask the question, what is a brand? They say a brand is Eddie Murphy, Steve Harvey, Kevin Hart, Spike Lee. Now, I am a new filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, you're telling me I don't stand a chance. And Tyler Perry, of course. And I don't stand a chance. And essentially what they're saying is, if you're not Tyler Perry and the rest of the names I just mentioned, then no, you don't.
Wow. And
so through this production, we got it to the point where I was able to raise the money for the film. But the distribution dollars, which is where we're falling short at this point, was critical, which is why we're only opening in 5 cities, in 5 theaters.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice other movies, for example, Steve Harvey's movie opened it on 3,000 screens.
Hmm.
So, of course, his movie, when you read about it, you hear about it, oh, he made $30 million opening weekend. I guess so. That's 3,000 screens. We're only on 5.
Yeah.
So do you understand the significance of why we need people to be in the theaters on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
We will not survive in this industry without people going to see the movie. You cannot wait, oh, I want to go see something else first, I'll see Change in the Game later. No, if you want to perpetuate African-American films and filmmakers, this is the kind of film you need to see. Other productions that come from studios that are produced by Disney and Sony and all of those, they have multi-millions of dollars behind those productions, and they'll be in the theaters for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Our production has our few dollars associated with it. We'll be there for a couple of days. Now, I also want to impress upon you that this is not a low-budget-looking kind of movie. As you talked to Brian, you understood, we have 33 film locations in this one movie. That is significant. If you understand what you see when you watch a movie, then each time you see a character in a different place, different room, different part of the house, inside, outside, night, day, building, restaurant, that's a different location. You have to pick up your whole crew and move them from point A to point B all the way through 33. That requires a significant amount of technical ability, which means that everybody on your crew has to know what they're doing, and you have to be proficient when you're working with a small production company such as ours. If you're working with Disney and Sony and all those people, hey, you can sit on set with your feet, with your legs crossed for a week and everybody's drinking coffee and nothing's getting done. You can afford to do that. On a production budget like ours, we film for 21 days, and every second of those 21 days had to count for something that we could put on film. And so,
One second, Karen. Sean is all in the queue in there too. Yeah.
What's his number?
213.
213. What's the area code?
It's area code. Well, that's 213 is is Brandon, and let me tell you, let me give you Sean.
Brandon's 213. No, I don't have Sean. Any 213 numbers in the queue.
Well, one second.
I have a 301 and a 678, but 678 doesn't 678. Have their hand
get,
up.
Get the 678 number. That's
Sean. 678 is Sean.
Okay,
that's
he didn't
Sean.
Have his hand up. Let me bring him in.
Hello?
Hello, Sean.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay, and yourself?
Hey, I'm blessed.
Why didn't you put your hand up? Because I just thought
Brian,
you were listening when you don't put... Huh?
No, I said, I just text Brian, 678. He was like, 213. I was like, I don't have a 213 number. I've never had a California number.
Right, and then the 678, your hand wasn't up, so I thought perhaps you were listening. But how are you this
okay.
evening? Mm-hmm.
I'm blessed. Thank you for having us, and thank you, Sean. Thank you for having us on the show.
You're welcome. So you're the star of the show, huh?
Yes, ma'am. The lead of the film. The lead of this film. I think everybody on this film are stars. They just don't know it yet.
Okay, how do you feel being the lead in the movie?
Well, first of all, I feel like God is amazing because I've been asking for a project for people who have a certain type of passion for the creativity of the art that I feel has been lost in mm-hmm. urban America especially. And me growing up in a city like Chicago, I've always seen us depicted in a negative light, from Boys in the Hood to Menace Society. Those were great movies, but we always saw the foreseeable future when we looked at those type of movies. And the one thing that we know is we're looking to see was somebody's going to get murdered. Well, mm-hmm. you know, plenty of times I used to yearn for that Spike Lee content that in today's terms, and we lack that now. So most of our films, they pretty much talk about the same thing. And I feel like, you know, we shouldn't desensitize our voice in the neighborhood by just saying we are about relationships and we're about just negativity. And here we are on reality TV. And then when we come to the films, we don't see any difference when we look at our films to what we watch on reality TV. It's important to me because, first of all, our young brothers have a stigma that we're not educated, we don't go to school. That's something that's something that you see usually African-American women do. Well,
mm-hmm.
here's a film encouraging brothers that there are a lot of guys out there that are educated. It's okay to have education. It's okay to wear a suit. It's okay to be articulate. And this film, you know, across the board, it represents everything that I know that when I got out of Chicago and I went to University of Illinois, I saw a totally different, you know, group of African-American males that were coming up. They understood that where they came from in each area of Chicago, that they know that that was behind them and that they all made choices. But society doesn't want to show those choices to a lot of people. They want to show the choices of those who make the negative choices. And let's put that on film. And let's, you guys, you make rap songs about that and killing each other. And let's continue to do that. Let's continue to show our youth, our young males, especially our young males, that you don't have any kings and you don't have any kings. All you have is our gangbangers. All you have are guys who have relationship problems. All you have are pimp players, guys who abuse their women. And to me, that's not nearly what our race represents. And I believe a film like this, it takes us to another light. I've talked to three different classes this week and one tonight. And the one thing I said to them, I said, when I was out there shooting a film, I went to this premiere in Philadelphia when we were shooting scenes in the game. And the one thing I noticed inside that film, in the premiere, was that it was full with Crips, Bloods. They were all, like, it was just tough inside of the theater. But they were behind this gang movie. It was about them. You know, we keep doing that, recycling this. All that was on there was the same stuff they see in the neighborhood, and they're egging it on. What I love about this film the most was that in the premiere in Philadelphia, it was full of brothers in suits. And the brothers were there, and they were so happy. The places that we went, you know, we went to an attorney office they opened up Brownstone. We went to Irma received a honorary certificate from the city, from the city council. Like, the things that's happening that's behind this film is amazing. This film represents those guys who got educated. Yeah, there are negative things that happen on Wall Street, too. And the negative things that happen, you see these brothers, where did they come from? They read books. How about that? They didn't just come out and say, we made a choice. But and that's why I'm glad they showed that he is from the slums. He's from an area in Philadelphia that is a negative area, but he made a choice. Much like my particular life, which is why I felt so connected to the character from the first time that I even read the script and fell in love with it, is that I told kids today that when I was a sophomore in high school, I had a black bag and two pair of jeans and a few shirts that were funky because I didn't. My mother, she sacrificed just to put me in a better area, but I was around a bunch of white boys in the suburbs and not in Chicago, but I still kept going into the city. But I made a choice, even though that I saw gang activity happening. I saw a lot of my friends that were on the corners selling drugs out the bag. But I put my hand on my heart and I said, you know what? I'm not like that. I don't want to follow along the trend. Because when I looked at that trend, I saw what were the results. Death, jail, all of the most negative things that you could think of.
You can't
fuck me.
You see that
sign right there? No, I'm sorry, but I'm on the phone. I'm sorry. I'm about to leave.
Oh, you're about to leave. Okay.
Yeah. Give me a second. Hello? I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
I'm at a club. Hello? I'm at a club about to promote for the movie, and somebody just blowed up on me. but, yeah, there's real stuff going on here.
Well, I'm glad that you called in.
I appreciate it. And like I said, I just think that it's a true blessing. I thank God for this project. I thank God for the people involved in the project. I thank God for Will and how his dedication. Even before the project came out, he said, "Brother Riggs, he would always say, you the man, man, you the man." And that's his Philly thing. And I was picking up on that whole Philly swag. Like every time I talked to him, hey, what's going on? Yo, man, I just sent you something. I want you to check out this book on American Greed. But you the man, man. God bless you. The next Denzel, I'm hollering at you later, man. That's all Will would do. And I said, man, I called my manager up. I said, I like him because he's doing things. I'm sitting here trying to research for the character. And I get an email from Will like, look at these YouTube clips. Look at this money. Look at this money right here. Look at this money. This is money right here. I'm like, yeah. I'm catching everything. He gave me homework, but I respected it because when people see this film, I don't want them to think that another actor just came and took a script and said, here's a check. Here's a check for me. I wanted this because this film is going to this is a film that's for, like Will said, he said something very, very great about this. He said, this guy is just not making black man mistakes. Or this is a human. This is the human film. This is for everyone. Yes, it's an urban film, like Karen said. Is made by black people, written by black people. You have diverse characters in it. But this is a film that everyone can relate to. Why? Because everyone related to Charlie Sheen on Wall Street. Everyone related to Tom Cruise in The Firm. So why can't they relate to this brother in this film in a suit?
Right.
It's the same thing. The choices we make. And like I said, the choices I made coming out of Chicago, I'm glad I chose a path. I'm glad I chose a path. And those people are hitting me up on Facebook. A lot of them chose different paths.
So is this interview. Your first project?
I'm
or
on the radio interview.
Is this
it
your first?
Hold on. Could you ask me that again? You said it's my first project?
Is this
project?
Your first project?
Project? No. Sorry, it isn't. The first project that I started with was Stump the Yard. Back in 2006, I had a dancing role and a small acting role, but you know, still it was a blessing. It was my first film, and a lot of people looked at me crazy, like, "Where's this guy coming from Atlanta to Hollywood?" I lived in Atlanta from Chicago, and I came out here, and you know, I said I had two left feet. I wasn't really a dancer, but somebody said, hey, maybe he used acid to get into the back door. I said, okay, well, they're going to know once they find me and get me into the acting world that that's, this is my forte. So I just used the dance element. I worked on it and ended up my first dance gig was actually my first acting gig as well, which was Stump the Yard. And I did another film called The Confidant. That was with Boris Kodjo, Kenya Moore, David Banner, Billy Zane. That was a couple
years ago. What was the name of it?
It was called The Confidant.
Oh, The Confidant, okay.
There was a TV show that I was part of called Party Down. It was a comedy on the Starz channel. But nevertheless, I've done commercials, you know. This is by far, though, you know, my biggest film. And I don't think that there will ever be another film that will weigh like this just because it pays me more. It doesn't matter. The spirit of this film is what resonates so much into my life.
Right.
That, you know, I got paid more on Stump the Yard doing a small role, but, you know, it's a Sony picture, so they have money. But to me, it wasn't about this. It's about a passion. I wanted a film where you can get the passion out of it, where I can really work on it and concentrate just on that. And lo and behold, Rel gave me a chance. And Karen and all of them, they believed in me. And, you know, and I thank them. I told Karen earlier today, I said, you know, I'm in debt to you guys. Because this is what I've always asked God for. This is what I asked my mother for. I said, I just want to sound like I said, just people together and have trust in me. Have some great cast members around me. If you need the names or if the people need names, they're around. But just a film I can love with them. And everyone loved it. And the cast, they weren't just names either. These, Irma, oh, my God, she's such an influential woman. Tony Todd, very, very intelligent brother. He's like a mentor. And people need to understand that, you know, there are brothers like this in the industry that are trying to bring this back up. This is where the arts came from, with our 1648. You know, our Nicholas brothers are... This is that type of passion that is coming back to the screen. Think Like a Man is a great film. Don't get me wrong. All films like that are great, but that's not it. We're not just that. We have films that have great content, and I agree with Karen. If you guys, if you're listening to the audience, if, you know, people of African descent want more films like this, they want those Do the Right Things to come back, well, here's your chance. You know, Hollywood gave Red Tails and said, here's your chance. And even still, Spike Lee had independent movies back then. They was not on the same scale as like Red Tails, but people supported them because that's what was out there. Hollywood let them out, but they have it for so long, and now they're giving these films that chance to be out there because the buzz is coming back. The people are speaking. So if the people continue to speak, especially for a film like this, it's so much, the subliminal of the title, Changing the Game, is things like this that are going on, even with the Global Leadership Academy in Philadelphia, where they're putting young brothers in suits, and they're saying everybody is in uniform, where you can't distinguish them from each other. They teach the boys in one class and the women in one class, teaching how to raise a king. You got to raise the kings together. They raise the queens together, and then they learn to respect each other, and then they come back and learn about each other. You know? This is that type of film. It represents that across the board for me, and I'm proud of it. I'm happy for it. I thank God for it, and I really believe that the people will be inspired when they go see this film. It's great. It has your movie stuff in there for you to love. But trust me, you'll be inspired by it.
Wow. Well, like I had told Karen, I'm definitely going to check it out. And,
bring on the wall now.
It's sad. It's sad right now. I just want to tell you, just now, and I hope your listeners are listening, because this is what... America needs, it thinks about it. There was just a group of white guys that rode by and screamed that nigga out the car to me. Racism exists, and they don't
yes,
think we're
does.
Not. So it takes us as a people to come together, to band together, to show this world that we're still here. Just because Martin Luther King is gone and we have an Obama president, we're not content. That we are here, and we represent for each other. Just like they band together for their films, we come together and do for our films. Trust me, it'll open up doors everywhere. It's just not a film you're just going to say, oh, I supported the film, now what? It didn't do anything for me. It will. there's a generation out there that is coming up, and they need films like this to show them. It's so serious in America. Just then, a group of white guys calling me a nigga like it's 1960.
Wow.
Now, if I had my track shoes on and I wasn't on the phone, I might have ran down that block to catch them at that stop sign. But you know what? I have something more powerful than that. I have this film right here. And this,
yeah,
and more films like this are going to come, and it's going to change the world. And they're going to end up being the voices that are going to have to quiet down, because it's going to be so powerful that we finally rise again as a people, as we support each other. We don't shoot each other no more. We learn from films like this.
Yeah.
I just have to say that.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. I do appreciate you coming on.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Who's on the line?
Brandon is on the line. He's the 213 number.
Okay, let me bring him in. Hello, Brandon.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I Brian sent me a message, so I'm like, oh, great, now I'm on Blog Talk. I thought I was giving him a phone call. Which is great. So I know Brian's there, and who else am I talking with?
Karen's here.
Oh, Karen. Hey, Karen. How you doing?
And how's it going?
Good.
And
good.
Sean was on.
Yeah,
is that Brandon?
Yeah, it's me. It's Brandon.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm blessed, man. I'm happy. I'm out here losing my voice. I'm everywhere telling people to come out to this film. And they're all like, hey, wait, we heard it on the radio. It's all in the streets. So I'm just happy.
Awesome,
cool,
man. Great.
Well, Brandon, what do you have to that you want to add to the conversation?
Well, I haven't heard the whole conversation, so I feel like I'm sort of coming in on the middle of it. I know there's been a lot of work towards promoting Changing the Game and a lot of promotion work going on this week, and I'm just really excited for the opening this Friday. Definitely really excited, especially here in New York.
Okay.
Well,
so what is your role? Go on, I'm sorry.
Talk about the character a little bit in the film.
I'm sorry?
The character that you play in the movie.
Oh, yeah. I play Marty Levine. I am Sean Riggs, Sean Riggs' character, Daryl. I am his friend in college who he starts a hedge fund with. And it plays as one of the major storylines dealing with kind of the corruption in Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. So
a lot of
background. The movie has a very unique concept, and it crosses lots of different lines.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think you know what's going on in the movie, you find out a few scenes later that you really didn't.
Okay. We have a caller on the line. I'm going to see if they have a question or a comment. 301-925, are you there? Hello, 301-925? I guess they're just listening. Sorry about that. I thought they, because their hand is up, so that's the reason why I called on them.
Well, I do have those theater times that you asked about at
Magic
Johnson.
Okay,
it's
what are they?
10:30 a.m.
10:30 a.m.
1:30 p.m.
1:30 p.m.
4:30 p.m.
4:30 p.m.
7:30 p.m.
7:30 p.m.
And 10:30 p.m.
Okay, seems like the 7:30 one, because the 4:30 would be pushing it kind of tight, because I have my my great grandbaby, and I don't know if his grandmother be home in time, but 7:30 sounds a little like the one that I could probably make.
Okay, so those are the times for the AMC Magic Johnson Capital Center, Largo, Maryland times for Change the Game. Now they know what time the movie's going to play, so they can pick out when they want to go and see it.
Okay. Did everybody out there listening, this is for people in the vicinity of Maryland or PG or Baltimore, wherever you're coming from, the Magic Johnson Theater is in Largo. And the time that Change in the Game is going to show, this is Friday, right?
Correct.
Friday is 10:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., 4:30 p.m., 7:30 p.m., and 10:30 p.m. And we need you guys to come out Friday to show the support so the movie can go nationwide, so to speak. Is that right? To keep it to keep it going, because it's only in five cities now. They want it everywhere, you know. And judging from the trailer, from what I saw, it deserves to be seen nationwide, you know, because it was some good things I saw in the trailer.
And your listeners can watch our trailer also if they go to
All right. Well, it was a pleasure talking with you, Sean.
It was such a pleasure talking to you, and I'll be praying tonight. Everybody, let's have a prayer tonight. We have a great weekend coming up. God is great. Thank you for having us on the show.
All right. Thank you.
Have you already said what the show times are for New York and the Bronx yet?
Okay. Let me look that up.
Because I'm having trouble bringing that up. I'm just looking at it right now on my iPad, and I was like, they aren't listing the theater. The independent website, the AMC independent website that we've been looking at, it lists the film, but it doesn't list the theater that we're in as a theater that shows independent films.
Well, you see, that is another one of the little tricks that they use in the industry. If people want to go see the movie, they make it hard for them to find it.
It's just really disappointing. I'm glad that we have such amazing opportunities here. We've got Chicago, we've got Atlanta, we've got D.C., we've got Philly, we've got New York. We've got such beautiful, amazing markets for this film. And being at the opening last week and seeing so many people realizing this film really has such a great opportunity to go so far. It really does.
It's
the great thing about it is the same team that was together to make the movie. We're doing our part together to get the word out, and people like Gail are such a great venue for us to be able to get the news out to people about this film. It is a very tough struggle we're blessed just the fact that we have the openings, but now it's one of those things that's just like anything else. You know, you've gotten to the one part, but now you have to get the people in the seat. And that's where, you know, we've got to get the word out, is getting these people in the seat. The fact that we got it in the movie theater, that was a great accomplishment. But now we've got to get people in to see it.
Right. Right. And let me run the time.
Oh, here we go.
I found it.
Google. Anyone looking for screening times, Google you can trust. Changing the Game is at the AMC Bay Plaza Cinema 13, starting Friday, where our first screening looks like 12:20 p.m., followed by 3:05, followed by 5:45, followed by 8:30, followed by 11:15.
And this is in the Bronx, New York?
This is in the Bronx. It's at 2210 Bartell Avenue, Bronx, New York. And if you want to get there, the closest train, I believe, is the 5-train stop at Gun Hill Road. And from there, what it looks like is just about a 10 to 12 block walk over.
Okay, that's in the Bronx, New York. Time is 12:20 p.m., 3:05 p.m., 5:45 p.m., 8:30 p.m. and 11:15 p.m. If you're in New York and you want to go see it.
And if you need to see it early on Saturday because you're working in the evening or you're working all day Friday, it starts as early as 9:40 a.m. on Saturday.
That is early.
Yeah, I know. You're telling me. I didn't know that number existed on the clock.
So you guys who can't make it Friday, get up early Saturday morning. You can catch it at 9:40 a.m. That's in the Bronx as well.
That's a really great time for working people who really, I mean, I know a lot of people here in New York work really hard. So, you know, we need that early time in the morning. We can catch something if we can.
Wow. You're in New York, Brian?
Yeah.
I'm in Philadelphia. Oh, Brandon's in New York.
No,
yeah.
Brandon, I'm sorry. I know where you was, Brian. Brandon, you're in New York.
Yeah, I am, and we're actually, I'm probably going to be putting up a little Facebook message on my Facebook public page, and probably looking at about 8:30. That looks like a pretty juicy time to go see the film on Friday evening.
Okay.
And Brandon, aren't you making a public appearance on Thursday evening?
Yes, I will be Thursday evening, myself, Dennis L.A. White, everyone knows from the Biggie Smalls movie, and Mari, who plays Sean Riggs' girlfriend at the beginning of the film. She's a beautiful, beautiful girl, wonderful actress, really talented. All three of us are going to be down at the Honey Lounge, which is between 7th and 8th on 14th Street. It's on the north side of the street. Let me see here. Here we go. It's 243 West 14th Street. 243.
14th Street, what, New York?
Yeah, West 14th Street here in New York.
Oh, okay.
Right down there.
We have a 14th Street here.
Oh, dear. And that is between 7th and 8th Avenue. And we're going to be there probably starting around 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be there probably through midnight.
Well, you see, we're trying to do quite a bit to promote the movie.
Right.
In a production like this, you know, you have to do a lot of the promotion yourself, even when you have a distributor.
It really gets down to what old Hollywood was when the film actors were not working. They were on a train going across America pressing the flesh. They're meeting people, shaking hands, saying hi, and it really, I think what really is going to bring independent film back is the actors really jumping out there and shaking hands and saying, hey, you got to see my film. We are done from the era of too much money and people able to spend tons of cash on marketing. We really need to get out there and do a lot of our work for ourselves.
Well, that's generally the way that it is, because even myself, I'm an author and a publisher, so I have to basically market myself and put myself out there, you know. And today I found out that a young lady had put one of my books in a video that's going to debut in the summer.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So it's on my page, on my Facebook page, if you want to check the video out. It's, what's the name of that? I wrote the name down somewhere, but you'll see the video on my Facebook page. But, you know, like, you do have to do your own promoting and your own marketing and, you know, different things like that. And, you know, there are little tricks and trades of how you can do that, because I'm learning every day different ways to promote myself and, you know, to market myself. Because everywhere I go, I take my business cards, pass them out, and, you know, let people know who I am. And then I'm in social networks and different workshops I go to. You know, it's just a multitude of ways that you can do that. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But, you know, if you want to get yourself out there, that's, you know, what you have to do.
It is exactly what you have to do. And it's gratifying as an artist being able to really meet people who your artifacts. That's a great part of it, you know.
Yes, it is. It most definitely is. because finding out, being in this business that I'm in, there's a lot of things going on, and you know, a lot of things that people try to sabotage you and, you know, keep you back. But if you just keep pushing forward and keep doing your thing, you know, you're going to get there. You know, just keep positive, because you guys all are a bunch of positive people, because if you wasn't, you wouldn't be where you are now. You know, so just keep being positive and doing positive things. So get you positive action. So that's my motto as far as that's concerned.
No, it's true. And I think the movie industry is very similar to the publishing industry in a way that both are dealing with a total crash in the distribution model. Total crash in the distribution model. Yet there are even greater opportunities than there has ever been before to distribute films online, to distribute books online, to the e-books, to everything else. But the old system won't work anymore because it will implode from the top down. It costs too much. For the independent publisher, you've got such an amazing opportunity, the same as an independent filmmaker. But you have to really buy into your own vision, buy into yourself, and really, really, really just believe and really push hard and know that you're going to have to do a lot of work. But you're going to see a lot more benefits, because there's not a lot of people. The big system, the studio system, the big publishing system, they have a lot of people they have to pay. When you're independent, you don't have that whole built-in cost to pay. So you have such a great opportunity, but it is harder.
Yes, it is. But I enjoy it because it's my passion. My passion is basically, I started off reading, well, I love to read and write, and I started writing when I was 9 years old. So I have 4 published books, and I'm ghostwriting a book for a local actor here who's going to turn it into a movie. So, it's gratifying, and it keeps me busy, and it's what I love to do.
Wonderful. Fantastic.
There it is. Well, I would say that I am reading now more, that I've got my my little nook.
So is this your first project, Brian? I mean, I'm Brandon. Is this your first project?
We're getting both of us confused. No, I'm lucky. It's a ways into my journey. This is my second feature film. This is my first feature to make it through the festivals into distribution. I've done over 30 episodes of TV. I've got probably 3 or 4 TV movies that play at any given point during the week. I've made a career out of doing very provocative works that make people think, and I've never been scared of a character's vices or sexual orientation or anything like that, because it's really become such a part of the actor's journey for me.
Okay, can you give us some of the names of some of the movies and
sure,
TV shows you've been on?
A lot of my television, I was on Co-Ed Confidential for 2 seasons, which is on Cinemax. They still play it on demand. You get seasons 3 and 4, and that's both here nationally in America. And you can grab it in about 15 different countries overseas, including Italy, Dominican Republic, Belgium, I believe Sweden. There's a couple of others, India. And my movies, of course, I always do these movies with the corny names. Got a Sex Spirit, which plays pretty consistently. Also, Cougar School, which is a classic of mine. My first film was Boy in a Bathtub, which played at the Paris Film Festival. And I haven't seen much of it since then, but it's really the film industry. I mean, I'm lucky to have filmed 2 films and both of them to have made it through post-production at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I count my blessings that this film made it all the way through and into distribution. That's just, it's more than you can hope for at my point, you know?
Well, are you working on anything else after this, or
What's your future looking like?
Well, currently I've got an untitled film that they're working on the title. I should be starting principal photography on that midway through the summer. And I've also got a couple of my own projects. Like yourself, I have realized that you have to take your art into your own hands, and I plan on starting to produce my own films here in New York and in L.A., probably also about midway through the summer. It's the availability, the technology, and everything else has just totally changed the independent film world. You can buy a $3,000 camera that does the work of a $20,000 film camera now and looks just as good. It's such a beautiful world for the independent filmmaker right now.
Yeah. Well, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah. How long have you been acting? How long have I been acting? I've been acting now I've been back in New York now for 3 years there. I have been acting for about 7 years. I have been professionally acting for about 6 of those. I count my conversion to the professional category after my first union card. And I was very blessed and lucky to have been cast in a little show off Broadway called Ascension that gave me a career. I was lucky to get a New York Times review, and it really kind of set me off on a direction in life. It's been a journey. I've lived both in New York and in Los Angeles. I lived here for about 2 years before I went out to L.A. at the worst time anyone could go out to L.A. I moved out there during the writer's strike.
Wow.
I don't know what I was thinking. I really don't. I lived out there for 2 years, and I bounced around on couches. I lived on 11 couches, and I had 22 different roommates in my time out there.
Mm. Wow.
But that's the beauty of the journey of an artist, is that you just have to accept it while it's happening and realize that it's going to inform the work you do, inform your characters, inform the scripts that you work on, and everything else in your art, and you just kind of have to take it like a leaf in the wind.
Mm-hmm. So what would you tell someone who wanted to get in the business today? What type of advice would you give them?
Yeah, I would tell them to live your life. Live it to the fullest. Enjoy your life. You have to be a very good actor. If your dream is to be a brilliant actor, you must be able to take risks, and you must be able to enjoy every flavor, every smell, every sensation that life has to provide. You can't be... I'm one of those controversial people who thinks that you cannot possibly be a vegan and a very good actor. If you shut off your ability to experience, you shut off your character's ability to experience.
Hmm.
Because when you have a script, when I was given Changing the Game, I was given this character. I don't create the character. The writer creates the character. They give me the lines to say, and it's my responsibility then to take that two-dimensional script and throw my three-dimensional experiences, the viewpoint I can bring into it, the understanding that I can bring into it, and fill that out. It's kind of like a balloon. When you get a script, it's like a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take your breath of life and you put that into the balloon, and the balloon becomes three-dimensional. It becomes interesting all of a sudden. No one likes a little floppy balloon.
Right.
When you don't like the performance, it's because no one breathed anything into it. It's this little floppy rubber piece of, you know, balloon. But when you are a brilliant actor, you take that balloon and you breathe your personal experiences into it. It's why Sean is so good in his character. I know a few of those what different methods may call secrets. A secret is what some methods call something that you use to inform a moment that allows you to bring in some emotional strength into that, because sometimes you are required. Sean plays a very emotionally dynamic role in this film.
Mm-hmm.
He goes from A to Z. I mean, you have every single piece of his dynamic range in this role. And he uses so much of his personal life experiences to inform where his character is at those moments. That's why he is interesting to watch. That's why he's intriguing. That's why he does such a very brilliant job in this role.
Wow. Well,
Oh, please. I'm sorry.
Were you saying something?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Well, he definitely sounds like, you know, he's put his all in all to this film. So I imagine, you know, that's what it's going to be about. Because a person, when you give your all in all, you get something out of it. You know, what you put in it is what you get out of it. It seems like he just put his all in all into it. And you sound quite passionate about what you did in the film, too. So who inspires you?
Who inspires me? That is such a good question. I think I am always daily searching for inspiration in one way or another, because the journey of an artist and the journey of an actor it's a never-ending journey, and it's a journey in which you always need to be seeking new muses, new inspirations. I'm lucky. I do photography also, so I try to vent parts of my creative energy into creating visual art. I think one of the most inspirational people that has been in my life was my acting teacher when I was in high school. We were doing Pippin, and I was playing the lead role of Pippin, and I was backstage waiting to go on right at the beginning of the show, and he saw me. We were walking back. I was back behind the curtains, and he walked over to me, and he gave me a hug, and he said, you know, Brandon, it doesn't matter where you go to school, you're going to work, you're going to be an actor.
Hmm.
You don't need to worry about going to one of these conservatories or one of these, you know, really expensive NYU, any of those schools. You are going to work. You just are. And that, I think, is a really great and inspirational thing someone can say to you, because when you're a young kid, you're in high school. I don't know if you have anyone who's listening right now who's in high school and they're thinking about going into this, but you're presented with all of these options, and you have all these posters in your theater room or any of the other arts rooms. All these art schools are trying to attract you. The point is, if you are good and you are good at what you do, you can go to any of them. You don't have to pay $50,000 a year. As long as you go there, you learn the lessons that are presented, and you go on and you work. And part of being an actor isn't necessarily school. It's really your own disposition, and it's your own ability to look at life, appreciate life, and not take it so seriously.
Oh, okay.
You have humor and everything.
It was a pleasure speaking to you, and I am going to go out and support the movie, and hopefully one day we'll meet.
Definitely. Well, I will be in New York. I'm probably going to hit the 8:30 screening on Friday, and I hope to have a large group of friends with me on that. I think Brian mentioned he might make it up and go, and I'm sure.
Yes,
I'll be
there tomorrow night.
Okay, excellent. Oh, you're going to be over at Honey Lounge tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'm going to meet you at Honey's.
We're going to have some time. I'll bring my camera and document it for all of us.
Okay, I'm going to bring my camcorder, too. I think we're going to have some interesting footage tomorrow night.
I think that's the whole point, man. This is the journey. We got to enjoy it.
There you go.
Wow. Well, Bryant and Karen, do you have any last-minute comments or anything you'd like to say before we close out?
I just want to let all of your listeners know that, they need to go and see Changing the Game. If you don't go see any other film this summer, go to see Changing the Game. It's the movie that you want to see. This is the movie that you'll be saying, I'm glad I went to see that movie. I almost go see Changing the Game. And buy your tickets online.
Yes.
Okay, and to Friday's show in Largo, the first show is at 10:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., 4:30 p.m., 7:30 p.m., and 10:30 p.m. In the Bronx, New York, shows 12:20 p.m., 3:05 p.m., 5:45 p.m., 8:30 p.m., 11:15 p.m., and Saturday morning for you guys who can't make it Friday, they're having a show as early as 9:40 a.m., Changing the Game. So everybody get yourselves together and go out and support this movie. Tell all your friends about it. Get them out and, you know, go and support this movie because, you know, we as black people, we need to stick together and we need to support each other more than what we have been, you know. So the time is now. Everybody support this, support that, support a cause, you know, something good. And this is going to be something good for, you know, young men, I think, you know, because you said it's a man's movie, you know, seeing this guy going through changes and changing his life and, you know, the things that he does in this movie. So get your family together, your friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, aunts, uncles, moms, dad, everybody just go out and have a party night, a Friday movie party night in the movies. And I want to, you know, tell Bryant, Karen, Brandon, Sean, and everybody out there that's listening, thank you for coming by tonight, making this special possible, because like I mentioned, you guys know my show is generally on Fridays. But for this cause, I'd have did it any night. So, again, thank you guys for coming out.
Thanks
everybody for hanging out in the chat room and listening out in cyberspace on your iPhones or, you know, however you tuned in tonight. And my Friday show, I'm having a young lady on, Andrea Clinton, who's the niece of, I think she's the niece or the cousin of George Clinton, who's rock funkadelic. So she'll be on Friday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you guys can come back and listen to that. And with that being said, everybody have a good rest of the week. And
good
see
night.
You guys next
time.
Pardon?
Good night and thank you.
You're
good
welcome.
Night.
Thank you. And good night, Karen. Thank you, Brandon, and everybody.
Thank you.
And have a good night, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Good night. Good
night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.